Anyway, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Now, I've preached this message exactly 3 years ago. And, yep, Lee and Carrie, you probably heard it. But it was 3 years ago that I preached, and a few of you others have heard it too, I think. But I felt led to preach it. In fact, I had another one. I was going to preach on judgment must begin at the house of God, but was not led by the Lord to do that yesterday, last night, as I was looking through things, and this came up. And the reason why I did is because the theme of the Word of God here and what we need in our lives and how we need it has been on my heart here this week, and with this morning, with profiting from the Word. I hope you got something out of that article this morning. I really do, in that education hour, because that profiting in the Word is very important, and we're going to continue with that. That was just covering sin itself. There's more to come with this whole situation. The second one will be next week, and we'll deal with that. But also, the message this morning on the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I hope it pierced you this morning. I hope you were pierced by that and moved by that. And not by any emotionalism, but by the Word of God sinking into your heart and seeing your need for it, and the fact of what the operation of the Word of God does in the heart of a man. And if you've experienced that, if you've been born again, then you've experienced that in your life, and you continue to experience that operation of the sword of the Spirit in your life. And my goodness, does it ever cut sometimes and cut deep? Amen? And it affects us. Now, this sermon was preached in 2009. I've only preached it once, but it was preached in 2009. It's called the Spiritually Malnutritioned Christian. And the reason I preached it was because I do believe that God's people are malnutritioned sometimes spiritually. Many times, most of them walk around malnutritioned. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He says that desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, we just prayed, so we don't need to pray again. We always need prayer, so you ought to be continuing to pray. But we will just continue on and beg the Lord for His power and His mercy as we go. But listen to me. The Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I believe we live in a day and age where born-again believers are spiritually malnutritioned. They are not feasting on God's Word. They are not strong. They are not strong Christians. Their souls are yearning to be fed and to grow. But they're denying the Spirit, but overfeeding the flesh. If you look at the lives of most believers today, they know nothing of the Word of God. That's not supposed to be the case, folks. In fact, I am going to pray. Father, please help us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd please speak to hearts here. Help us to be tender to your Word. We need it, Lord. We need to desire it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That word, what is the definition of malnutrition? Well, it means it's the condition that develops when the body does not get the right amount of vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients it needs to maintain health, to maintain healthy tissues and organs. So you see here, if the body does not get that proper nutrients, what happens? It doesn't grow right. It doesn't grow at all in many cases. Your soul is the same way, though. Your spiritual life is the same. I don't know why we try to complicate that so much. We think that there are some secrets to living this life. There are no secrets. God has revealed how you are to live this life. You are to live desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That is how you're to live your life. And if you don't live your life that way, you are malnutritioned. There are so many Christians that walk around and they cannot fight the devil. They have no power over temptation. And the reason why is they have not feasted on God's Word. They're not feeding on it. They're starving their spirit. But they're living in the flesh. Their flesh is fine. They please themselves. They do what they need to make self happy. But to feast on God's Word, that's not happening. 1 Peter compares it to milk. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? Well, because if a baby, if you understand anything about babies, you know they have to have milk. And if they don't have it, they get sick. And when there's concern when they're not getting enough of it, then they can get sick and they can lose weight. And they don't have the strength that they need to. And they don't grow. And that's the way God's people are. If they don't desire that sincere milk, then what happens? They don't grow. They don't grow. You know why many of God's people cannot take hard preaching and you have to feed them with a bottle like a baby? They've never taken in enough milk so they get some teeth to handle some meat. And then when you get meat, you're a baby. And what does a baby do with meat? Nothing. They can't handle it. It's not my analogy. It's in the Word of God. But it's very true. You give them the milk of the Word, but they've never taken it themselves. They live their lives 20 and 30 and 40 or 10 or 15 years never growing in the Lord. And why? Because you've never taken the time to desire the Word of God, to grab onto its pages and to allow it to teach you and to train you and to build you in the faith. Have you grown this year? Have you grown a year from right now? Have you grown in the Lord? Have you? Has God dealt with your heart? Has the Word of God been used to grow you? Have you desired that milk? Have you taken that milk? And have you grown thereby? A nurse baby understands that baby will never grow. It has to eat from its mama. That baby will desire that milk. And God made you so you desire His Word. You would desire His Word. That's how He made you, just like a baby. You're a baby when you get saved. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, you're a baby. I've had people look at me and tell me this. You know, I've been saved for 15, 20 years and I feel like I don't know anything about the Bible. Now, all of us feel that way sometimes. But I've been saved for a long time and I don't know anything about the Bible. You know, I've met people that have been saved for 25 years that can't explain the doctrines of the Word of God to you. They can't explain the Bible to you, and they've never grown. The best thing that you can do is put down the remote, put down the internet, and read the Word of God. Little babies, they don't survive without that. Your spirit is now malnutritioned without the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is just the doctrines. It's just the new doctrines of the Scriptures. It is not the meat of the Word. That isn't even the meat of the Word, folks. That isn't even biblical principle, really. It's principle. It's the first principles of God. The first ones. It isn't even the building blocks we haven't moved on. The first principles are just the beginning of your Christian life. The Bible says we're to move on from those things. We're to have grown from those and gotten stronger in the Lord and able to handle the meat of the Word. Eventually, you're going to have to handle that. The meat of the Word. What does he say in verse number? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. One verse number 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And verse number 12 says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by the reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Leaving the first principles. There must be a time where you embrace these principles and then leaving them, not doing away with them, but growing and adding to them. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. There must be a growth process. You must desire that milk. Many of God's people don't even know good Bible doctrine. Proper understanding of who God is. Understanding His attributes. Can you explain any of God's attributes? His righteousness, His holiness, His eternalness. Can you explain those doctrines to people? Do you know them yourself? Can you explain the doctrine of immutability? Do you understand what that means and can you explain it to others? Can you explain to somebody that you can never lose your salvation because God is eternal and He is immutable and He is holy and He is righteous? First of all, God is holy. Second of all, He is eternal. Third of all, He is immutable. So a righteous, holy, immutable God, eternal God, will never let you go. Why? Because He changes not. He's immutable. And if you understood that about God, then you wouldn't be so feeble in your salvation and think that God's taking it away every 5 minutes and that you're lost somehow. The reason why is because you don't know God. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you don't know who He is. You've never studied it. You study the eternalness of God. You will understand that salvation was born out of eternity. And the Son is eternal. And the Father is eternal. And the Spirit that is given unto you when you're born again is eternal. So how in the world could you lose it when it's eternal? Not to mention God is immutable. He changes not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, the Bible says. But it's only when you study the Word of God that you know this. It's only when you get to know God that you know this, that you can explain this, and that you strengthen your own heart with it. I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again that God strengthened me through His Word by studying the attributes of God and learning who He was. And then I knew I could never lose anything. He gave it all to me. It's all about Him. It's not about me. Amen? It's all about Jesus. Proper understanding of who God is. Know the God of thy forefathers is the command that we've received. Can you explain repentance? Can you explain sanctification, separation, the Trinity? You know, it's a sad thing when Jehovah's Witnesses come along and pack your lunch for you and eat it too. That's really a sad thing for Bible believers who have the Holy Ghost of God in them. And they are of the devil and you can't even reprove them with Scripture. You can't even sit down with them and explain them the truths of the Bible. And you're scared to confront them even or talk to them. Why? Because you don't know the Bible. You don't desire the sincere milk of the Word, you're malnutrition. You don't have the strength to battle. Because you don't know the Word of God. Many who are saved, they need meat. The Bible says that. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You know why our congregations aren't growing too? Because people are trying to go after the lost too much and not strengthen the saved. I'm telling you right now, folks, that's what's happening. Every Sunday morning message has to be evangelical. It has to be the gospel. And then we do this way, and then we do this way, and we do this to attract the lost. And we do this. Listen, I want the lost to be saved. I most certainly do, but it's our job to go out after them. It's not our job to change the local assembly into the greatest evangelical tool we've ever seen. And then you have 25-year-old Christians and 30-year-old Christians. I'm not saying the age. I'm saying as long as they've been saved. 30 years old, you sit down with them and they have this much spiritual depth to them. And here was a young guy like me that came along and saw these people that were saved for 25 and 30 years. I'm looking down and I'm thinking, and I started out when I first got saved, somebody said, hey, read these. I said, okay. And I started reading them. And I just started reading the scriptures, read the Bible all the time, started reading a bunch of books, and then I went around these guys and they were saying all this. I was like, wait a minute, no, you don't. And I would start to talk to them and they didn't even know what they were talking about. They had no clue. And you sit back and you look and you wonder. And this is not a pride thing. It's God gives you those when you study His Word. If you'll only study, God will give you everything. He promises to give you what you need. He promises if you'll feast on His Word and you're not malnutrition. But I've seen 30 Christians that were saved for 30 years that cannot explain the Bible to anybody. They just cannot do it. Why? Because they've never studied it themselves. That's a shame, folks. It's a shame to stand before our enemies, the enemies of the Lord, and not be able to reprove them with the book. It's a shame. God never meant it to be that way. He gave you His Word. Men died for this book. Jesus died so you could have this book. Those little Waldensians studied out those scriptures and memorized them, baked them in bread, ran in and out of caves, had their heads chopped off, their eyes burned out. So you could have the Word of God today. And you and I don't take enough time to read it, to study it, and to know it and to embrace it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and he goes on and he explains their carnalness. But he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. There are some hard, straight truths that if I gave you, you would run. And that's not exalting myself. I'm just telling you, there's some hard, straight truths in the Scriptures that if I laid them flat out for you tonight, you could not bear it. Amen. You just couldn't handle it. Why? Because we're babes, that's why. We're babes. And we just can't handle it. This is a Corinthian church that Paul is talking to. He's explaining to them. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. What was he saying? You don't have any teeth. You can't chew it. You can't handle it. You can't swallow it. You'll choke on it. So what's a preacher have to have a lot of wisdom and understanding? And not choke people with it. Because you could throw some meat at somebody and if they can't eat it, they'll just choke on it. You have a little baby. It's like that little one there and you throw him a piece of steak. He can't eat it. He'd choke on it, wouldn't he? He'd stick it in his mouth and he'd start choking on it. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. He said, you don't have any teeth to handle the meat of the Word. Why? It all goes back to being malnutritioned. Spiritually malnutrition, never grown, not strong, not feasting on God's Word, not able to bear it. Can you handle the meat? Or are you still on the milk? You know, a man will be malnutritioned without water, too. Many people walk around dehydrated, not really realizing they are. You know, most people walk around and they think they're hungry and they're actually dehydrated. Do you know that most of us walk around dehydrated all day? We drink soda and different drinks and everything else, and we walk around absolutely dehydrated. Most of your energy problems and your problems that you have are probably because you're dehydrated. you would probably be able to have more energy and walk around if you flushed your body out and drank water. Because every time you drink a caffeinated beverage, you know what you do? Hey, that's not funny. I don't have any water up here. And she just handed him a water. Did you see that? I can't believe that. Right when I talked about water, it was just like, there you go. He just handed him water. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you did that. Anyway, but, the water, most people walk around, they don't even know it. They take a caffeinated beverage, and that takes water from you. That dehydrates you. People drink juices and more and things like that, and they get dehydrated. They drink pop or soda or something, they get dehydrated. If you drink more water, you'd find out you wouldn't be as hungry either. You know, same is true with the Word of God. If you will take the Word of the water in your life is the Word of God. The water of the Word cleanses us. We don't get clean without the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26, he talks about the water from the Word of God cleansing us. The Word of God will cleanse you. But you need water in your life. To flush out the impurities, you need the Word of God. You need to feast on it. If a child, if you never had water, what would happen to you? You would dehydrate. You would die eventually. Without water, you'd die. Without this Word of God, your spirit dies. And it has no strength. None at all. And you and I, sin will keep you from the book, and this book will keep you from sin. But that choice is yours to make. If you allow God's Word to sink into your heart, if you desire the sincere milk of the Word, you won't be malnutritioned. It amazes me how we can have eternal life and have all the blessings of God but neglect His book so much. And the reason why God's people aren't bold is because they don't know His book. Because you are bold in the Spirit when you have His book. And it's hidden in your heart. You are bold. But when you don't have God's Word hidden in your heart, and you're not feasting on God's Word, you'll fall for sin. You won't stand up where you need to stand up in your life against wrongness. You won't stand against error. Because you're not feasting on God's Word and you're malnutritioned. You know, sometimes fighters, when they're trying to cut weight, they cut weight a little too much. And then they get in the ring and they made their weight, but the next day, they can't fight, can they? You ever seen that where you can tell a man, he just cut too much weight. He just couldn't make that big drop that he made and able to sustain himself and to fight. Why? Because his diet, he didn't have enough food. He didn't have enough energy. The same goes for God's people. If they're not feasting on God's Word, they don't have the strength, nor the knowledge. See, how do I consume more? How do I consume more? You read your Bible and you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You get in there and you study it. For the ladies, Mrs. Hildebrand has an excellent Bible doctrines diagram that she's put together. I don't know if there's any more over there, or if you can get the copies off the line too. But she has an excellent outline there to follow for ladies, or anybody could follow, really. I mean, it's just Bible. But the doctrines there are there, and you can go through and study the doctrines of the Word of God and train your children in the doctrines of the faith. You need to train your children the Bible and teach them the Word of God. They need to know that. You can't depend on somebody else to teach them. They must understand it themselves. They must get the training from you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You and I must hear the Word of God preached, and our faith will grow from that. Our spirit will grow from that. And we will be able to be strong in the Lord and not malnutritioned. We must understand that. Well, what are the signs that I'm malnutrition? What are the signs that I'm a malnutrition Christian? Are you weak spiritually? Do temptations overtake you all the time as a pattern? Think about it. Do you give into the flesh more than you do walk in the Spirit? Why? you're spiritually malnutritioned? Do you give in to anger and get mad, malice and wrath? Can't control your emotions? Why? Malnutrition. Not desired in the sincere milk of the Word. You haven't fed enough on the Word of God in your life. We try to handle things carnally all the time. Have you ever noticed that? I'll give you a good example. Husband, when you get in an argument with your wife, you try to handle it with your own humanistic reasoning to show your supremacy. Now, some men like to smack women around, and they think that's cool. See, I think you're a wimp and a loser. I'll just say it flat out. And a coward. Because only a man puts his hands on a woman like that. I don't care how big you are. Makes no difference to me. If you put your hands on a woman like that, you're using human reasoning, but you're also being a coward. I don't care how much she runs her mouth or anything else. If you're telling me that as a big man, 200 and some pounds, and you look at a little woman, and you don't know how to handle her by talking to her and dealing with her, you've got to actually use force. You give evolution a good explanation. You might even give it some credence. Because I would think that you're a monkey then. I'm just being honest with you. Because if you can't talk to somebody without smacking them, you really do act like a Neanderthal then. Amen. Plain and simple. It's truth. Here's another thing. Men, when you use human reasoning to try to deal with your wife, you're losing credibility. When you're dealing with your wife, you ought to be able to take the Bible and show her where she's wrong. Now, wife, you ought to be able to receive the Bible as the answer and not yell and scream and kick and fight and argue and get angry and hysterical. But you ought to receive the Word of God and say, you know what? That's true. You're right. And I was wrong. Even my wife can put me in my place when I need it. I've never wanted to hit her for it. Amen. I've wanted to smack myself a few times. But I've never wanted to hit her for it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that a man that knows this book and a woman that understands this book and follows this book will be able to deal with biblical principle and speak to people without being irrational and angry and crazy. I don't have to walk up to my wife and say every day, I'm the man, you'll follow me. I don't ever say that to my wife. Unless I'm joking. I joke around sometimes. But I don't have to say that to my wife. Why? Because she kind of already figured that out a long time ago. Why? Well, I don't know. She believed the Bible, and I believe the Bible, and we said we'll handle it through the Bible. Now, what's right and wrong? But see, that involves you as a man being mature and not malnutritioned and understanding the Word of God and teaching your wife the Word of God, teaching her that this is what we live by. And this is why we do it. See, you have to be patient and understanding and teach them the Bible. And teach them where they're wrong. If they're wrong. Now, if you're wrong, that's a good reason why you won't use the Bible. Because you're actually wrong and you're just arguing out of ego and pride. Which I've seen most men argue out of. That's why you don't use the Bible and you use an argument. Because you're probably wrong. And you're using your ego. So you're trying to use your manliness and say, well, I'm the man, and you listen to me. I think it's funny, too. But that's what a lot of men do. And it shows that they're spiritually malnutritioned. It's a sign that they have no spiritual life. Or they have a weakened one. because they cannot handle things. When you teach your children, you don't just teach them, well, because I said so. Now, immediately, that obedience must be there, yes. But you teach them why. You teach them why. And if you're spiritually malnutritioned, you don't even know why. So you can't teach it. Why you must obey. Why you cannot do that. Just like the other day, I was sitting out with my son at the table, and he was acting kind of wild and everything else when he was trying to eat. And I said, son, we don't do this. And I explained to him the biblical principle of why we don't do this. I sat down and explained how it brings shame to Christ when we act this way and we do things that we shouldn't do. And I went in and I explained it a little bit further, then I'll explain it to you here. But I explained it to him. I sat down and gave him a reason. You know what I didn't have to do? Yell and scream and run through the house and act like a maniac. I didn't have to do that. By the way, people really do that over the most ridiculous things. All that bitterness, anger, and wrath, it just proves that you're not walking in the Spirit. It just proves it. It also proves that you're too proud not to walk away from a situation, and you want to stand there and fan the flames a little bit. And if you fan the flames enough with a woman, you will make her very angry. I know that from experience. My dad did it a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I know that from experience. And you can continue to make that mad. Hey, my dad knows it's true. But oops. But you can continue to fan those flames. And you can make it worse. But what does it profit? It leads into anger. That's not a spiritual life. We as the people of God should never have that testimony. And I'm not saying I don't get angry and I have to repent and go to my children, my wife, and say, you know what, I handled this wrong. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I do it too. But there ought to be that time that that's done. And by the way, let me explain something to you. There is a little cycle of abuse that you need to understand. All right, and here's the cycle of abuse on a woman from a man. I'm telling you, I have no respect for it. So I'm laying this all out for you, and I didn't plan on doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Here's the abuse. First, it starts into an argument, right? It starts in with kind of a back-and-forth argument. The next step is it becomes physical. That's the next step, right? Verbal abuse is first, and then physical abuse sets in. And then you know what people do that are caught up in the bad, in a wrong spirit, and they're caught up into a weird psychological game? See, they play a psychological game with a woman then. Here's what they do to that woman. They verbally abuse her, then they physically abuse her, then they try to console her after they do it and try to make up with her. Now that is more than one type of abuse there. That is three types of abuse there that's going on. Because you are training somebody to accept your abuse because you're going to say sorry afterwards and they're going to get consoled for it. It's sick and twisted and it's wicked. It's of the devil. And nobody that's a man should ever do it. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's the pattern that goes on in abusive relationships right there. That's the pattern. If you're in one, get out of it. Or get help. One of the two. Amen? If you're married, get help. Because it's wrong. It's wicked. And by the way, there's children that watch that and think that that cycle of abuse is okay. So little ones see that. Daughters grow up seeing that cycle of abuse. Oh, okay, well, I'll just get through the yelling, because after I get through the yelling and the smacking, then I'll get consoled and I'll get some love and then it'll be over. You see how sick that is? You see how absolutely sick and disgusting that is? Oh, well, she ran her mouth, so she deserved it. Wow. And that just makes me say, what a man. Is this what God made a man for? Remember, a man is to be a covering for a woman, a protector for a woman, not an abuser of one. God never gave you authority to put your hands on your wife and to abuse her. Never. Never. Search it page to page, cover to cover, you'll never find it once. Never. you're the one that's to be trusted. You were entrusted with her. If you're not mature enough to handle it, then let's go to big boy school and figure it out. Amen. Because real men don't do that. Well, I have problems. Well, get help with your problems then. Amen. Get help with them. Men don't do that. You're not a man because you're big and you're strong and you're tough and you can pick on a woman. How well do you know Jesus? Are you malnutrition spiritually? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the Lord, in your family, in the gifts that God has given you, and for eternal rewards? Where is it? Do you treasure God's word in your life? Do you know Jesus intimately? I didn't ask you if you were saved. Do you know Him intimately? Do you have a desire to know Him intimately? You'll never get it until you desire the sincere milk of the Word. Have you studied Him? Have you studied Jesus in the Bible? Have you looked at Him? Have you watched His life? Have you walked through His life and seen how He lived? Do you know who He is? Are you weary in your Christian walk for the Lord? Be not weary in well-doing, the Bible says. We shall reap if we faint not. This Christian life will get you weary if you're not feasting on God's Word, because you're not strong enough to handle what comes your way. That's why God gave you this book, so you would follow it. You get dirty in this world and need the cleansing power of the Word of God in your life. Turn to Acts chapter 20, please. Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified," which is able to build you up. The word of God is able to build you up and to make you stronger. Acts 20:32. You say, "It's hard for me. My wife doesn't listen. My kids don't listen. My husband's this." Be not weary in well-doing. You get weary when you don't feast on God's Word. When you don't feast on the water of life. Is your spiritual life dehydrated? You know, when you're running and you sweat a lot and you have a lot of things that happen like that, what happens to you? You got to get some water in you because you get dehydrated. Are you making bad decisions in your life? It could be because you're spiritually dehydrated. Turn to Psalm 119. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. I get wisdom from the word of God. You say, "I'm struggling with assurance of my salvation." Do you know where to find? Well, first of all, the Lord gives you assurance through His word. But do you know where to find it at? 1 John 5:13. Why don't you just believe the Bible? Stop going off your feelings. Do you understand? You do understand that touch, taste, feel has nothing to do with faith. You do realize that, right? When I cry out from the heart, it is the seat of all affections that I cry out to God to be born again. It has nothing to do with your touch, taste, feel, whatever you feel. Right. The human senses have nothing to do with it. It is all faith. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You say, I'm naive to the devil's attacks. The Bible does say, my people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. You're a malnutrition Christian then. A lot of God's people are malnutrition, don't know when they're disobeying God, when they're just walking, when they're disobeying biblical principle and walking contrary to it, and they wonder why trouble comes in their life. How about biblical principle concerning decisions? You're making bad decisions, you might be malnutrition then. You might not be feasting on God's word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path if I'll use it. You say, the devil attacks me. What about the sword of the Spirit? What about putting the armor on in Ephesians chapter 6? Over and over again, we're told to put the armor on and to battle the devil with the armor of God. But you've got to know what that armor is. You're malnutrition and you need the Word of God in you. You know, Jesus had the power to do anything. He spoke this world into existence. He could speak it out of existence if He wanted to. He could but have a thought and it would all be gone. He could open up earth. He could throw us all into the lake of fire with the mighty power that He has. But you know what? He used the Word of God to fight the devil. Do you understand that? Can you even contemplate that? You go through your life with your humanism and my humanism. We go through our life and we try to get the victory through our humanistic reasoning. But Jesus, the Son of God, the living God, what did He do? He took the Word of God and He fought the devil with the Word of God. He didn't say, poof, you're gone. He could have. He didn't flick him like a booger across the universe. He could have. What did He do? He used the Word of God. But you and I, in our humanistic reasoning, have evolved from that. And Jesus, I know you needed to use the Word of God, but we have understanding and human reasoning beyond capabilities of the devil. Oh, no, we don't. That's why He's playing ping pong with us. That's why you're like one of those balls in a pinball game, and the devil's batting you around like crazy, like a cat with a ball or a cat with catnip. He's just playing around with you. Why? Because you don't know the Word of God. And you don't use the Bible to battle the devil. You use humanistic reasoning. You use your feelings, your emotions. You don't use the Word of God. And He's right there and He says, battle with the sword. Jesus, Almighty God, used the Word of God to fight the devil. He showed you, don't you see that He came and made Himself a man of no reputation, had the power to do anything in this universe. But He opened the Word of God to the devil and He used it to battle Satan. And what did Satan do? Flew the coop. Got away from Him as quick as he could have after He gave the Word of God to him. He got out of there. Three times He tried. And three times He failed. That's why He's the God-man. But He came and used the Word of God. Now in your life, what are you going to use? Are you going to be malnutritioned and continue to not grow and try to use your own reasoning, your own understanding and lean on that to try to get victory in this life? Are you going to grab the Word of God and allow it to dwell in your heart richly and grow you and build you in the faith so you can actually handle some meat of the Word of God? So many people want God to show them something else when they've not drank the milk that is in front of them. And God says, you're a baby. I can't hand a baby a steak and expect him to eat it. He'll never eat it. So I have milk for you. Take it in and grow thereby. Otherwise you're malnutritioned. And you'll never grow. Are you spiritually malnutritioned? Where is the Word of God on your list of priorities? Where is it? Is it last? Is it of little importance? Does it govern your life? Ask yourself, Do you believe in the all-sufficiency of Scripture? Or is there somebody else that has the answer for you? Is there something else or someone else? Do we really believe this book is everything we need? Do we live our lives as this is the most important thing in it? That I will obey God rather than man. I will follow God. Not my own selfish way. Ladies, do you understand that God has said that you are to submit to your husband? But husbands, He said to you that you're to love them like Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it. You know, I hear a lot of men crying out, my wife isn't submissive. And they're probably right. But you know what else is cried on the other side? He doesn't love me like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Where are the husbands that are willing to sacrifice for their wives and their families? Sacrifice their wants and their desires. Because that's what a godly man will do. Amen? A godly man will not put himself first, but he'll put his family first. Amen? He won't put his drive, his initiative, what he wants first. We have a backwards view of what it means to be a leader today. We believe as well, being a leader means I get what I want all the time. Husband, is that not true? In your heart of hearts, is that part of you that it means I get what I want all the time? It means I'm the leader. I get to do what I want. More importantly, does your wife see you as that? That it's got to be your way and that's it. That there's no other acceptable way but your way. That's not putting the Word of God first. It means you're malnutrition. You don't understand. You need to feast on God's Word and get some wisdom from God's Word. All of us need that. Whether we're a husband, a wife, or single. You know what the sad thing is? That some of you don't realize how bad you really need this book. You're like a zombie you're not even listening right now. Your mind is somewhere else. And you can't hear the truth. And that is the scariest place to ever be. Stand to your feet if you would, please. We're done, but just a few questions. Are you malnutritioned? Spiritually? Have you been feasting on God's Word? Have you been growing thereby? Have you desired the sincere milk of the Word? Has it dwelt richly in your heart? Are you growing from God's Word? Father, help us. We need You. And Lord, we need Your Word that You've given us. Father, would You please speak to our souls? Would You please help us to get right with You? Help us to be the men and women that will honor and glorify You, the fathers, the husbands, the wives, the godly women, the godly ladies that will follow You. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Use us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.